Codenames' friend turned out to be a glowing sphere of light the size of a child's head, though perfectly symmetrical and marked at the center with an arcane symbol. It floated over to Marcy, then bobbed in the air and spoke with a soft, masculine voice. She didn't understand the strange words.
Was that some kind of spell?
He said he was pleased to meet you and complimented your hair.
Oh.
Marcy was transfixed by the glowing orb. Nothing held it up. It simply floated, shimmering with a pure white glow tinged with mother of pearl. Codenames spoke to the sphere in the same language, and it bobbed again, then began to shift and change. It melded into the shape of a person's head, a man with strong angular features. She was shocked to find that most of the paintings and statues of the survivor were accurate, except for the spike through his right eye, a feature that was replicated in the light, same as the rest of his head and hair.
I'm not surprised to hear from you. Something's wrong, isn't it?
Maybe. Honestly, we're not certain, Kel. But Twin Soul said we should contact you.
Is he there?
Present, my lord.
Twin Soul bowed his head to the reproduction of the man's face, though Kelsier didn't seem to be able to see him.
Also present is Moonlight and a visitor, one Marcy Combs.
The survivor's image cocked an eyebrow at that.
Marcy Combs, we've been watching you.
Marcy stammered. This man was the center of her religion. She'd prayed to him as a child. And while she wasn't as observant as Steris, it was still daunting to meet him. He didn't express anger that she was there, another indication that Moonlight had been playing up that aspect, perhaps to make Marcy feel she was getting away with something.
Report?
Dawnshot is in Bilming and thinks the set is moving soon, within the day.
Harmony is blinded, Lord Survivor. He admitted it to Wax. He can't see anything, but, sir, he's frightened.
Damn! I'm 12 hours away, moving quickly via airship.
That may not be soon enough, Kel.
My lord, Moonlight has recovered some disturbing intel. It appears that the Set has discovered the relationship between Harmonium and Trellium. Beyond that, they've been experimenting with long-range delivery devices. They're prepared to do something stupid.
Not so much stupid as desperate. They know that autonomy has declared this entire planet anathema. The Set is fighting for survival the only way they know how. By trying to destroy Ellendale, to prove to autonomy they can rule the planet. I thought we had more time, though. Why now?
No idea, but there's talk of a new Ashfall. I've never heard that before. Plus, we have a photo here of a destroyed city. Maybe they tried it out somewhere else and photographed the results? At any rate, it implies something more than bombing of Ellendale.
There have always been two plans. Autonomy wants to do something catastrophic to the entire planet. The Ashfalls could be their plan for that. But the Set is hoping to prove it can dominate the basin, and that the more extreme measure isn't needed. Like cutting off a finger to prevent the infection from spreading.
The room fell silent, Marcy feeling overwhelmed. They spoke of the end of a planet, her planet, as if it were something that they'd known was a possibility for some time. But then again, she was literally in a conversation with the survivor, so...
Sir, Lord Kelsier... I believe they are close to launching this bomb. I intend to stop them, but I'm just one woman. I wouldn't mind help. Anything you can offer.
I don't have the luxury of holding back. I shouldn't have left for the South. I thought Saze would stop it before it got this far. We need to do what he cannot. Miss Combs, you have our help. Codenames, how many full Ghost Blood agents do we have in Bilming?
Only us three. Everyone else is in Ellendale or on assignment elsewhere in the field.
How quickly can we get the Ellendale agents to Bilming?
Not quickly enough. They're all embedded, so we'd have to use the dead drops. We could have them roused by early evening, maybe late afternoon, but they would still be several hours away in Ellendale.
Send them to my sister. She's trying to facilitate an evacuation via the Ellendale government.
Kelsier didn't seem to have much respect for the Ellendale government.
Codenames, you take Deo and see to it. I doubt the field team needs a philologist for this mission. Also, alert our members around the basin. Shri Prasanva, I hate to pull you from your quiet evenings of scholarship, but I fear we're going to need your help.
The elderly twin soul stood up straight, then bowed to the floating head.
We are eager to serve, my lord. Stilajana sends his regards and wishes he could send more of his Aetherbound to aid in your fight.
I appreciate the sentiment. You and Moonlight are to assist Miss Combs. In fact, I think it's time to do something drastic. Take the stores of Purified Door. The command is respect. Authorize the other cells to access theirs as well and pass the command to them.
Marcy had no idea what Purified Door was, but even Moonlight seemed impressed.
Do what you can. I'll try to accelerate my arrival, but the truth is that I don't know how much I can do. I'm traveling over water, and so can't go much faster than I currently am. Dropping things to steel push off doesn't do much with an ocean underneath you.
We will stop this, my lord. Whatever is happening, we will interrupt it. You shall arrive back in Ellendale to find a pristine and welcoming city.
I'll settle for the normal, dirty, grouchy city, twin soul. Go. I'll see if I can shake Harmony out of his stupor. At least he sent Dawnshot. That convinces me the threat is real. Anything that makes Saze take action these days is to be considered significant.
The face melted back into the sphere, and the communication was over. The three immediately burst into motion, going in separate directions. Marcy decided to stick with Moonlight, who rushed to a different room, which required opening another mystical lock. Inside was an armory that would have made Renette delirious with glee. Guns on the walls, vials of metals in racks, glass knives and dueling canes, a large chain-fed machine gun, and some explosives. Moonlight ignored it all, rushing straight for a safe in the corner. It had no combination or locking mechanism that Marcy could see, though as she peered over Moonlight's shoulder, the woman put her hand on the front.
Respect me.
Another, what was it? Identity lock?
No, this is even more secure. It's a lock that is awake and can tell from your intent if you've been given a passcode or if you've stolen it.
A lock that was awake? As in, alive? Inside were only three items, a trio of identical glowing jars, big enough that you'd have trouble carrying them in one hand. The glow was similar to the sphere that had followed code names, but more intense. Each jar outshone the room's electric lights. Moonlight took one, the light shining on her face, and turned it over, awed.
What is it?
Concentrated investiture, unkeyed from any identity. This is an energy source that can power things like your metallic arts.
Those are powered by the gods.
Exactly. This power comes from a god's corpse. Two of them, actually, intermingled. It's exceptionally difficult to recover. The things that you could do with this, well, that I could do with this, you'd only be able to use it as a hyper-efficient replacement for your metals. You don't know how good you have it here on Scadrial, being able to power your abilities with something so common.
And your abilities, what are they powered by?
Moonlight smiled. She hadn't admitted to any abilities, but so far Marcy had seen a man who could create objects from crystal, a woman with a pet sphere, and Moonlight, who seemed fairly high in their organization. So what was she capable of doing? Moonlight packed the three jars in a rucksack, wrapped in some cushioning, then filled it with other supplies, including a few explosives. She threw the sack over her shoulder and took a few guns from the wall. Marcy, with permission, helped herself to a fine-looking rifle, along with an innocent-looking case to carry it in, and some aluminum ammunition. They had it in plenitude here.
Electrolysis. Aluminum is actually pretty easy to make once you know the process.
Wait.
Marcy hurried to join her as they left the room.
You can make aluminum with electrolysis?
Yeah. We've been using it to fund our operations for almost 2 decades now. I bet half the aluminum in the basin came from us originally.
And you're casually letting me in on the secret.
It's a free sample. Besides, Dean, he's our chemist back in Ellendale, is convinced you'll find the secret soon, and the value will plummet. Dean thinks aluminum will soon be cheaper than tin.
Cheaper than tin? Preservation? If every criminal could afford bullets to kill Allomancers and every citizen could keep a band of aluminum in their hat to prevent emotional Allomancy, it would change the world.
All of this is merely the surface, Maracy.
Why me? Why not Wax?
He's spoken for. Besides, Kelsier prefers people like us. The discarded, the ignored. And Wax is a little brazen. People watch him, track him, pay attention to him. Not our style. For all that, Kel likes to be the center of attention.
Plus, I suppose having access to a high-ranking constable is useful.
There's also your uncommon connection to the Malwish.
Alec? He's wonderful, don't get me wrong, but I think you'd find him to be a little less well-connected than you're assuming.
Rusts. She hoped he'd gotten out of the city. Her gut said that he would go if she asked. There was a certain practicality to Alec that she loved. He was wonderfully, beautifully genuine. In her line of work, she met so many who made her question the nature of humanity. But then she'd go home and find all the reminders in the world of the best that people could be. And somehow, he was all hers. Back in the main room, the model of the city had started to crumble. It didn't disintegrate as quickly as the cup had. Something made the stone linger sometimes, but immediately vanish other times. The chair, for example, still seemed fully sturdy. Moonlight waved for Maracy to follow her out into the foyer. Here, Twin Soul walked down the steps, gripping the banister tightly for support, wearing a backpack that she thought, from the way it moved and from the hose draped over his shoulder, might be filled entirely with water. He'd changed outfits and now wore some kind of loose-fitting uniform with a bright yellow sash around his waist. He'd strapped on a sword, a slightly curved one in an ornate golden sheath. As he reached the ground floor, he nodded to Moonlight.
Codenames is going to send some messages and wait for that other woman you sent to reach safety here. I think it is time for the three of us to be about the job. You retrieved the door?
Moonlight tapped her rucksack.
Excellent.
He turned to Maracy.
I have been commanded to follow your lead, my lady. With Silajana's blessing and yours, we strike forward. If there is danger, I vow that I shall fight to protect you.
This could be dangerous.
Maracy glanced at his ornate sword, noting how unstable on his feet he was.
I'm sure we could use your help, Twin Soul, but I don't know that you should be doing any fighting. Perhaps we too could strike ahead and call for you when we need your specialized skills?
I promise I will not slow you down, my lady. I have been tasked with aiding you by the survivor himself.
Maracy glanced at Moonlight, who nodded to her. Despite their knowledge and experience, this was Maracy's mission. She was in charge. Good.
Where's the nearest train station? We need to get to that factory as quickly as possible.